flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One last item on the NTSB press conference. The flight data recorders have not been recovered as of yet. So they certainly will inform us when they have been, and if we can pass along the information before we're done, we certainly will do it. Hopefully those are found as soon as possible off this horrifying event. We've had a chance before to talk to Bloomington Police Chief Booker Hodges, and he is excellent. And the police chief of the city of Minneapolis, Mr. Hodges, is back with us. Booker, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming on. I was drawn to you when I saw the story earlier in the week with all the talk right now about immigration, illegal immigration, undocumented, and the emphasis by the administration. And your warning about a scam that may be taking place, go ahead, because you can do it better than I, Booker. Tell people about the scam you're worried about and why you decided to be as out front as you have been on this particular attempt to fool people.
Yes, first, thanks for having me on. And the scam I was wanting people to be aware of, and we haven't had it happen yet, but if history dictates future behavior, there's a playbook for this, and typically does happen when vulnerable communities go through significant issues. We're worried about people using this as a tool to make money from people who may or may not be undocumented by placing phone calls to them, telling them that they needed to pay money, or they were going to be deported, or they needed to pay money, or they were going to call officials to come arrest them. We just wanted to get ahead of that, right? Because we've seen this happen with our seniors. We've seen people use AI to voice trick parents to send money. And just to let people know that no government organization is going to call and ask you for money, not even the IRS. So we just wanted to make sure that people were aware of that, that if that does happen, it is a scam, and do not pay them money.
It is a reminder that every one of us, Booker, probably you included, that whether it's a phone call, whether it's an email, it will be something in your life, and the individual might sound as sincere and compassionate and decent as possible, but they're after a wallet. They're after a wallet, and they're using a cause that means something to maybe me or you, and they're pursuing you, and it's despicable. As the police chief of Bloomington, How important do you think it is to continue to warn your citizens that this type of behavior despicably still takes place?
Well, it's very important. I mean, we get seniors that are scammed every day from this, right? And, you know, people are losing life savings. You know, you work your whole life and get into your 70s and 80s and lose it in a phone call, right? It's very important that people realize that no one from a legitimate government source is going to call and ask you for money, period. And I think that that's the message that either for our immigrants here or our seniors or our parents, government is not going to call you and ask you for money.
Let's go to immigration and what is taking place at the federal level. As the Bloomington police chief, what is your policy on that? Because the federal government, now led by Donald Trump, wants as much information as possible about individuals who are not in this country legally. Where do you stand? What is the policy of the Bloomington police?
So this is a great question, and I think I'm going to use this as an opportunity to educate the public, right?
Sure.
So anytime you see somebody, a mayor or a police chief, stand up and say, me no cooperate with ICE, it's, in my opinion, it's political grandstanding, right? Because here's the deal. I want people to really understand this. We do not have, as local law enforcement, the ability to view someone's immigration status. So if we get asked by the federal government to provide a list of undocumented people, we don't have that list. When our cops are stopping people on traffic stops, they don't have a list, or they're not notified if someone is in this country illegally or not, right? And I think that's a thing that's a common misnomer out there for folks when people are saying that they're not going to cooperate with the federal government. We don't have that database. Secondly, we are not authorized to enforce federal law. So if the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, called the Bloomington Police Department today and said, can you go arrest Joe Blow for flying a plane illegally? We don't have the ability to go over there to do that. In the same token, if we had a third-degree burglary suspect who had a warrant here in Bloomington, and we called the FBI to ask us to go arrest this person, they're not going to come because they don't have the ability to enforce state law. So I think that's the aspect that people need to understand, that there's a separation here. We don't have the ability to do that. Now, even our city attorney, right, like say we arrest somebody for shoplifting, give them a ticket, and then they're going to go to court. Our city attorney doesn't have the ability to see if that person is in this country illegally. That would have to be disclosed by the person's defense attorney. So we do not, as the police department, have a database of people who are not supposed to be in this country.
Okay, so you know this very well. This is a huge push by Donald Trump and the administration. So if they try to alter what the policy is, and with ICE, they reach out to you and say, we're headed to Bloomington. We believe we found a number of individuals. We would like some support from the Bloomington police because we have only so many people available to us. Number one, is that even a realistic scenario? And if they did ask you, what would you do?
So I don't think it's realistic, to be honest with you. And again, because like I said previously, we are not authorized to enforce federal law. So that would be my response. We're not authorized to enforce federal law. And they know that, right? So that's why they're not reaching out to us or, you know, police departments and asking for that. And that's why I said earlier, anybody that stands up and says they're not cooperating with ICE, it's political grandstanding, right? And our job in law enforcement is to remain in the middle. That's where we're at, right? And we just don't have the ability to enforce federal law.
Would you want to have federal. That?
No, absolutely not. We got enough state crimes in force here. I mean, we do. And, you know, the other part I think the public has to understand here is, so a lot of these people who are in the country who shouldn't be here, you can use that language, or not here with documents, ICE will put out what's called an ICE detainer, right? That detainer in Minnesota we cannot hold somebody in jail on a detainer. The Supreme Court, state Supreme Court, had decided that based on two cases that the ACLU found, right? So, like, say, for example, we came across someone with an ICE detainer. We don't have the legal authority to detain that person, right? Because that's not a quote-unquote warrant signed by a judge. And, again, I think the education piece here is important. I get you get the rhetoric on TV, and people are, mm-hmm. you know, oh, can I just keep saying, don't chase the ghost, man. Let's just focus on, you know, really what people can do and what they can't do. Now, what we cannot do...
That might be a good policy for all of us in all aspects of life. Don't chase the ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and what I will say is what we can do, we cannot do. What we cannot do is, say ICE wanted to come to Bloomington to do a raid, right? Mm-hmm. We cannot go stop them from doing that.
Yep.
Right? We can't, we can't do that. Yep. And they wouldn't even call us anyway. I mean, that's, you know, as a city chief, I can tell you the sheriff comes in our city, doesn't call us. You know, I know the federal government's here doing, you know, other things, and they don't call us unless they need help. So
last thing, I had Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara on this topic starting the week. He wrote an op-ed about it. It's still a large part of the conversation. That when Donald Trump came in and he has full presidential power and he used it, and some loved it, some hated it, just like when Joe Biden left, he pardoned a number of people, including his family members. And that was highly controversial. And I'll just say personally, people listen to the show know I was highly critical of that. But I found it indefensible that Donald Trump would pardon violent offenders who attacked law enforcement on January 6th. This is very different from individuals who may have followed others and were walking through the Capitol. I'm not defending that in any way, but that's different. I found it indefensible, and I found it hypocritical if you're going to say we're always with the blue, if and I can give you an example after example after example of pepper spray and using their own batons and trying to poke people in the eye and trying to, you know, violently harm them. As somebody who's been part of law enforcement your entire life, what was your reaction when you saw the president pardon those individuals?
So I'm going to give you a short, long answer, if this makes sense. For me, law enforcement, we're always in the middle, right? So on one hand, I watched Police Precinct get burned down. We lost hundreds of cops in the state for PTSD. And a lot of the people who were on TV, you know, saying that the cops should have got this happened to them, blah, 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 right? And then, you know, one party held hearings criticizing the party and crime response and riot response, right? And then flip mode, now you let people out and pardon people who literally assaulted police officers just the same way as those people who did riots, right? So mm-hmm. as a police chief, for me, I'm smart enough to recognize either party doesn't really, you know, we have to stay in the middle. And the minute we jump off one side, we're going to get clipped, right? And those two examples right there show, you know, that either party, given the opportunity, I don't know how well they're going to support law enforcement. Yeah, and I mean, to me, to see, you know, a freedom fund set up for people who assaulted cops and rioters was just as bad as letting these people out for January 6th who assaulted police officers. And, I'm smart enough to know that we have to stay in the middle. And, you know, that's why you see the thin blue line, because it's in the mm-hmm. middle.
Yeah. I think we should have the ability as a citizen to call up both. That if you're just defending someone... And that doesn't mean if police officers make mistakes, we look away. I don't, but I don't generalize either. And I don't say all are great, all are awful. If there are individuals who are violating their ethics and the law, they should be called out. But you're so right. It can't be based on attacking a police officer. It can't be based on, well, in this case, I agree with the cause, so it doesn't mean as much to me.
My point exactly. And you should never be able to assault a police officer and get pardoned, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned.
100%.
On either side, you know, I mean, it's just, and that's why I said, I'm smart enough, I've been around enough to know, just stay in the middle. don't jump out on either side, because eventually someone's going to run you over with the bus either way it goes.
That's Booker, you're excellent. Yeah, that's very smart. By the way, we were talking before, we don't have enough Bookers in the world. We think Booker is a great first name. Is there a story behind your first name?
Oh, yeah. So my dad, my grandfather, they got a brother. Yeah, my oldest son is Booker. So, yeah, there's a bunch of us.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
so
stay safe. I really appreciate you coming on. We'll reach out again.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Booker Hodges, police chief of the city of Bloomington. You want to react to that conversation? You can. We've done some adjusting. Jim Pete, fine. Scared the you-know-what out of me, but he's fine. He's now moving to 235, and we're moving Jason to tomorrow. Is he okay with that? Well, let's talk about it. Is Jason okay in moving tomorrow, or was this the last appearance of Jason ever on this show?